This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley. Let's dig deep and grow strong. And now, here's Jeff.
Hey, thanks so much for joining me here today on the Vintage Truth Podcast. Today I'm talking about God, government, and godly people. And how do those three things really come together? Because we've seen a lot of things happening in our world right now, a lot of things with authority and governmental representatives, and also with this case where a man was obviously killed by a police officer, whether intentionally or unintentionally this thing happened. And so this idea of this thing of authority that is in the news right now, also just mandates and suggestions from our government concerning safety, public safety in light of the COVID pandemic thing, and also just seeing how government it continues to grow worldwide and continues to have a reach into people's lives. So what does the Bible say about that? I want to look at just some plain texts here in Scripture to really determine, is there a time for us to say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't think I'm going to obey you. And when are those times? And what does God require of us this side of that? And what does God really say about government? I just want to read a few passages here in the New Testament, and we're going to be in Romans chapter 13. And this is not going to be a complete exegesis of all these passages, but I'm going to be able to make some comments on these things that'll kind of lead us into our topic here. It says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except God, and those which existed are established by God. By the way, just real quickly, when you go back to John chapter 19, when Jesus is standing before Pilate, Pilate says, you don't speak to me? Don't you know I have authority to release you? I have authority to crucify you? And Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. So clearly God is the one who establishes government. Says back in Romans chapter 13, verse 2, therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Now, Paul says this for a reason. Let's read on. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Then do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. For it, that's the authority there, the government, is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, government, for it's a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. So in this passage, the point that Paul is making is that governments basically exist to keep order and to punish evildoers. And as government fulfills that role, we are to obey government in that relationship, okay? So it's basically saying that, look, if the government's going to punish you for stealing or for murder or for something else, then you should be thankful that there's a government there to protect its citizens from this type of lawlessness and this type of anarchy. And in that sense, in a generic common grace sense, we're not talking about the theocracy of Israel here. We're talking about secular governments. And in here, he's talking about Rome, which is the most secular, godless government just about on planet Earth at the time. So he's basically saying there that people should fear the government, and that fear should cause them to not to want to do things like rob and to steal and to kill and that kind of thing. Take someone else's wife and things that are against the law. There's a sense of fear there. That's okay. That's a healthy fear. Now, that's all I'm going to say right there on that passage. Let's go to another one here. In Titus chapter 3, verse 1, remind them, he says, to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. So once again, being subject to the authorities. Then over in 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 2, he says this. Peter says, Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For this is the will of God. This submission is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. And he goes on to say, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, so the basic premise of government is that it has been put there for the good of mankind. Now, why are these governments there? On the whole, okay, God is saying that government is there to keep order, to provide a basic environment where decent people can function in a society without being afraid of going outside and being attacked by other people. Why would they not be afraid of that? Because they've created an environment where those people are afraid to be caught doing those bad things against other human beings. And so government is there to do the work of God. They are the avengers of God to bring God's corporate present wrath upon them for their disobedience. Okay? Now, let's talk about what that does mean, what it doesn't mean. Obviously, it does mean, even Jesus, you know, people always quote the passage where Jesus said, render unto Caesar those things which are Caesar's, and to God those things which are God's. And he was talking about there paying your taxes. So basically, as government is set up, we are to obey government. And that refers to two things, like paying our taxes and to obeying the ordinances of a particular state or local or federal authority. So on the whole, we are in subjection to our government. We don't just make our own government. Christians don't just make up their own government and say, well, this is what we want to do. That's what cults do. Cults just make up their own rules. They make up their own little sub-societies, even when they disregard the basic tenets of government, okay? Now, when is it okay to disobey the government? The time when it's okay to disobey the government is when the government is either asking you to do or passing laws which are evil against God's laws. And when I say passing laws, I mean enacting laws that put requirements on all of its citizens to compel them to do that which is against their conscience or that which is evil. Now, there's a difference here in government between governments allowing certain things to take place in our society and governments forcing certain things upon believers. Here's an example. Our government passed in 2015 the Same-Sex Marriage Act, and this allowed homosexuals to, under the government, to be legitimately married. Now, they're still not married under God, because God doesn't recognize a homosexual marriage, because God created marriage, and we see the pattern of that in Genesis chapter 1, and Jesus affirmed that in the Gospels. But the government created a law that said, okay, they can be married. But Christians do not have to recognize those marriages, and we can conscientiously and morally object to that. Now, it doesn't mean we are going after those people and trying to get them to not be married. That's not the point at all. The point is for Christians to understand that government sometimes allows people to do things that are ungodly. And yet, as long as the government is across the line and requires something ungodly of us, then we don't have, there's no sense of disobedience going on there, no civil disobedience there. The same would be true with the whole issue of abortion. The most grisly, horrific, heinous crime against humanity in the history of humanity. That's what abortion is. And our government passed a law, Roe versus Wade, 1973, that allows a woman to butcher her own living child. That's what the government allows. Now, in our society, in our democratic republic society, we get a chance to vote on things. we try to change certain laws that are on the books through peaceful demonstrations and through voting and enacting legislation, lobbying for legislation at the national and state and federal level. And that's allowed in our government. If that was not allowed in our government, then you know we would have to think about that. But it is allowed. But when the government then says to you, like they do in China, hey, you're pregnant, you have too many kids already, we're going to force an abortion on you, that is a case where when government disobeys God in telling God's people to do something that contradicts God's word, then we have a not just a freedom, but an obligation to object and to protest and to fight and to disobey the government. All of the cases, we're told to obey. But when it's a law which tells us to disobey our God, then we have to choose that God is greater than men. And as Peter said in Acts, that we fear God, not men. We must obey God rather than men. So if the government were to pass a law saying that there were mandatory abortions, then you know we would have to conscientiously object to that and say, no, we're not going to do that anymore. You see it back in Daniel's day. Daniel was told not to pray. What did Daniel do? Daniel didn't say, well, you know, God says obey the government. I guess I should not pray anymore. I mean, you know, I can pray inside my head. They're not going to know. No, Daniel went ahead and prayed. And he got arrested, didn't he? Got thrown into the lion's den. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know, they were told to bow down whenever they heard the music and to bow down to this statue and of the emperor, of the king. And they could have said, well, you know, we'll bow down, you know, in our bodies, but in our hearts we'll be standing up for God. Because what is bowing down anyway? It's just something you do. It's not really, no, they didn't do that. When the Christians in the first century were told every time they passed a statue of Caesar, they were supposed to say Caesar es Kyrios, or Caesar is Lord, and throw some incense on the altar there and pay homage to him, Christians said, I don't think so. That's not going to work. Guess what happened? They were arrested. They were thrown into prison. They were taken away from their families. They were thrown into the lion's den. They were killed. Why? Because they objected to government. So we obey government as long as government goes along with the things of God in terms of what they tell us we must do. But when it comes to the time when government goes off the rails and goes off the track, and there have been many evil governments in our world and in the history of planet Earth. I mean, you think of someone like a Dietrich Bonhoeffer in World War II. He disobeyed the government of Germany, and they threw him into prison because he wouldn't stand for Nazism. So there are times when government tells us to do things, and we have to say no. And fortunately, we have lived in a country to where that has not been a huge issue, and we have, at least under the current presidential administration, had an administration that has been sympathetic to Christian values, and that's been great. But if we ever turn that corner and to the point where Christians are the ones that are being targeted, and we have seen hints of that in the past. We've seen times when, for example, the Christian bakers who refuse to bake a cake for a gay wedding, because it's against their religion. You as the government cannot and must not tell me I have to still do that. And the government said, no, you have to do that because it's discrimination if you don't. Well, that's a time when a Christian just says, you know what, I'm sorry. If this is an issue of my conscience, and you can go two ways on that. You know, people say, oh, it's just a cake. I mean, it's a cake, for crying out loud. But on the other hand, you have to ask yourself, am I, by baking this cake, participating in the celebration of one of the most heinous sins that the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 1 are one of the reasons why God will abandon a nation and abandon a person? And I'm going to participate in that in some way? That's something you have to answer, your conscience. But the bottom line is, if the government tells you you have to do that, you have to serve and participate in that, okay, then that's something that you have to figure out in your own mind and your own conscience before God. But my friends, there's going to come a day when as we continually ramp up to revelation, it doesn't appear that society and culture is going to get any more godly. It's going to get even more depraved, in fact. And here's a scenario that you might entertain. We know that culture is going to get darker and darker. People are going to hate Christians more and more and more. We're going to be the bad guys over and over again until we are raptured. It is possible that culture will continue to devolve while basic American government or the government in the country in which you're listening right now, that basic government will remain, for the most part, fundamentally decent. And you, on the whole, won't have a huge problem obeying your government because they're not asking you to do something that is evil. But the culture that you're in will continue to devolve. People's hearts and their actions and their values and their practices will continue to become more and more like the days of Noah. And then the rapture comes. It is also very possible that as the culture will continue to get more evil all around the world, that governments will do the same. And that incrementally, little by little, those governments will begin taking away the freedoms of not only good people, normal citizens, but also Christians who are part of those cultures and societies as well. And then we know that after the rapture, that everything's just going to go downhill. In fact, there's going to be mass executions and murders of Christians, believers, in the tribulation period. And really even early on in the tribulation period. Because as early as the seal judgments, and if you'll remember, there are three judgments in Revelation from God, the seal, the trumpet, and the bowl judgments. And there's seven seals, seven bowls, seven trumpets there. And as early as the fifth seal in the first set of judgments, we already are seeing martyrs for being Christians. Think about this for a second. Right now, the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is acting like a levee or a dam, holding back the anger that Satan and his followers in this world, and that's everyone without Christ, has against believers. We are going to be blamed as the scapegoats for the cataclysmic chaos and crisis that's going to happen in a post-rapture world. And it says that there's going to be massive murders of believers early on. And these are not believers that have been left behind. These are people that have become Christians after the rapture. And it says in Revelation 6:9, "And when he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God, because of the testimony which they have maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?'" Remember back in Romans, we saw that government existed to avenge evildoers, to bring avengement for the whole idea of people have done wrong. Now, in a post-rapture world, there's no government there to do that for Christians. So people are going to have just a heyday, open season on Christians. And he says here in verse 11, "It was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had, should be completed also." So this is early on in the tribulation. There's going to be, it's going to be like, what is that movie that 24 hours people could do anything they want to? Oh yeah, The Purge, where people can have 24 hours once a year, they just get to do anything they want to other people. Well, that's what it's going to be like for 7 years in the tribulation. It's going to be The Purge. And guess what? Those people are going to die because they're going to refuse to obey the government, because the government is going to tell them at one point, the halfway point of the tribulation, to take the mark of the beast. Christians are going to say, we know this from Revelation 16:2, Revelation 19:20, Christians are going to say, not going to do it because I have a greater allegiance to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So yes, there is a time to disobey government. God wants us to obey and to be great citizens of this country and to show what righteousness and goodness is like. But at some point, if the government tells you to do something that is against what the Bible says, you have an obligation to say, you know what? I'm going to obey God rather than men. And that's God, government, and the godly ones, which is you.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.